And I pray in Jesus' name that everything that you are believing for in your fast, everything internally that God will do in your life. David said, I humbled my soul with prayer and fasting. You can take dominion over your soul. Sometimes your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your ambitions, your drive, all of that, sometimes that'll try to dominate in your life too much. And the Lord will tell you to do something. And you'll say, well, I've got all of this other though that also going on. But you know, God has a plan because He knows the future and the past all at the same time. And any time that your soul or your mind is wanting to object to the working of and the leading of the Holy Ghost, and if you just need to bring your soul into submission, sometimes you just fast and pray. Just kind of bend your fork and break your plate for a little while. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're amening, and I'm not even preaching right now. And just pray during that time. It's amazing how you'll bring yourself right back in line. And you can ask me how I know that. One of the reasons is because that's what I do. Anytime I feel like I'm just moving in any direction and resisting in some way the unction of the Holy Ghost, then I just say, I just think I'll wait a little while. I think I'll just pray, not eat, and just see how that shifts me in the Spirit. And when you do, glory to God, 100% of the time, every time, you'll bring yourself right back into line. Glory to God. Paul talked about it. The Apostle Paul did. He said, there are things I would do that I don't. He said, there's a war inside of my members. He said, well, what's going to set me free? I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can be free from those things so you can serve the Lord. And you can obey the Lord even in little things. You don't have to make big dramatic changes. I found out that just one little click of the dial sometime can just change the whole, your satellite, so to speak, where you're receiving from God. And I'm just talking about internally. Just one little thing, a minor adjustment can have a major impact in your life. And sometimes just don't eat breakfast, but pray an extra hour. It gets quiet when you say that. Glory to God. But I love these Methodist churches. I mean, they're very nice and everything. So. And it has a powerful impact on your life. And then sometimes if you feel like the devil's harassing you, then just take time and just don't eat, but during that the time you would eat, just commit that to prayer. Because Jesus said there's some things that you get dominion over them through prayer and fasting. Glory to God. And so ask God to give you understanding of that. And the more you have understanding of it, the more it'll work. It's amazing how your spirit man will become illuminated, not eliminated, illuminated on the inside of you. And you just hear differently. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, man, people will think you're a fanatic. They think you're a fanatic anyway. You speak in tongues. You love God. You think God talks to you. You think you hear Him. You think He hears you when you talk. Go into a court of law. They'll call you a fanatic. Everybody's a fanatic for something. Some people are fanatic for baseball. Some people are fanatic for football. Some people are fanatic for music. We just might as well be a fan for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a good God we serve. So it truly is an honor to be with you. And I thank God. I think the last two or three times that I had the privilege of being here in January, it was icy. And I'm just glad there's no ice out there. And I'm just binding that stuff in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So it's good to be here. Let me share with you a quick word from John chapter 6. I want to talk to you about anointings of the Holy Ghost. I grew up in church. I was almost born in a church. My mother and father pastored for at least 50 years, a little over 50 years. And a Pentecostal Holy Ghost church. I have six brothers and sisters. There was five of us boys and two girls. And we grew up in church and I loved it. I was in church four times a week, whether I wanted to or not. I didn't know there was an option of not going to church until I was at least, 16 years old or something. I just thought that's what Christians do. Christians go to church. Hallelujah. And so it was powerful and it was wonderful in those days. The church never was real small. The church I grew up in, the first 17 years, I left home when I was 17. The first 17 years of and went to college of my life, it never had more than 100 or 150 people in it at any given time. And it was in a little small community, a small East Texas community. But I'm telling you, it was full of the Holy Ghost. The power of God is in that place. Many, many preachers, my father mentored many preachers, and he fathered us, really. He just happened to be my biological dad also. But he had great character. He was a tremendous character. He had he was a lot of humor, full of the Word of God, a lot of joy, and I don't care what the devil tried to do, and the devil tries to do it, whether you got a big old church or a little church, same devil. He doesn't do anything new here that he does, in Texas or anywhere else. There's nothing new under the sun, and you can be sure the devil doesn't do anything different today than he did in the Garden of Eden, nor anywhere else. It's, he just got his bag of tricks. But the good thing about it is you and I have dominion. We have authority. And Jesus said you can have power. Everybody shout power. You can have power. And so as a boy growing up, I would see people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they would have these wonderful experiences. And I did too. I think I started talking in tongues when I was as early as I can remember. I was about 5 years old. And so every day of my life, I talked in tongues back in the 50s, prayed in tongues, talked in tongues, gave messages in tongues as a little old kid. All through the 60s, all through the 70s, all through the 80s, all through the 90s, all through the 2000s. Now I'm in the 2020s. Oh, shikamo, hallelujah. And He's never failed me yet. Glory to God, He's never failed me yet. What a great privilege to be able to say that. I'm just thinking about it for a moment and blessing God for my wonderful mom and daddy who are in heaven today. Sometimes I'll get going and I'll do something and I can almost hear my mother's voice still because she's a voice inside of my head. Her and I were very tight and she was very prophetic, not pathetic, prophetic. And she'd start playing the piano and all of a sudden the power of God had hit her and daddy would turn and look at her and he'd say, "You got something, mama? You got something?" And she'd prophesy it out right there on the spot. And it was powerful. And I can hear her talking to me sometime. "No, Walter Glenn, don't do that." Anytime she called me Walter Glenn, I knew I was in trouble. Because, that's why you have a middle name, what they say. So, when you're in trouble. And she'd say, "I can hear it sometime." No, Walter, no. "Oh, yeah, that's good, son, do it. Just go ahead and do that." I'm in my 70s today, and I can still hear her voice on the inside of me. I think I'm saying that to you just to say, especially those that are raising children and grandchildren right now, go ahead and serve God in front of your children. Serve God with your children. When they get sick, just tell them, "I want to pray." And they're like, "Oh, I'll just take an aspirin." And you just say, "Well, good, come here. I'm going to pray for you anyway so that aspirin will have the right effect." And don't let anything substitute that. Always include that. The impact that has on your children. And on your grandchildren. It's wonderful. I'm privileged to be around our grandchildren and to have them in church now. And when the devil attacked us one time and one of my daughters went to heaven. And it was a great loss. It was a tremendous loss. We felt a great gain for her, I'm sure, but a tremendous loss for us. But the next thing that happens, my oldest daughter had begin to have children. Her and her husband were married 10 years, and it didn't look like they could have any children. It looked like that we weren't going to have any grandchildren at that point. And you know what? The devil is a liar. Oh, hallelujah. We just kept praying, and the next thing you know, out popped those little twin boys. Oh, hallelujah. They started coming out like a whole litter. You know what I'm talking about? Bless the Lord for it. And now we have seven. And God just baptizes you with joy when you get the privilege of speaking to your children and your grandchildren. And I've got two hairy-legged son-in-laws, too, hallelujah, that love God and that live for God, big, strong, six-foot-two, good-looking young men, and they love Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, and it's a great privilege. And so I saw growing up about the power of God. I witnessed it a lot from the time I was a young boy back in the 50s and the early 60s. I was even in some William Branham meetings when he would come over to Louisiana. Then my parents would take us, and if we could get in the building, my father being a pastor, we could get in. And they just wanted to expose us to the operation of the Holy Ghost, different operations of the Holy Ghost, especially word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of healing, gift of working of miracles. I got close to Dr. Oral Roberts, a tremendous man, a great man of God, and some other great men of God. And I noticed that every one of them worked a little bit uniquely, a little different in the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Kenneth Hagin, he was a tremendous man. I would sit down and have lunch with him. He would come to the church. And I remember one day he was there for, I think he spoke 15 times in a row in 1 week. And we had some powerful times. And we'd go to lunch every day. And we'd just sit there and talk. And mostly I'd sit there and listen. Because I found out when you sit down with kings, you ought to put a knife to your throat, the Bible says. And just pay attention and listen. And I found out that you can learn a whole lot more listening sometimes than you can talking. Hallelujah. Look at two people and say, he's talking to you now. Come on, just tell him he's talking to you. And some of the most powerful men and women of God I've had the privilege of being around. And I noticed the unique workings of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you receive that initial evidence of speaking with other tongues as an evidence of the infilling, the impartation of the Holy Ghost, not salvation, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you receive that. Oftentimes people think, well, that experience that I have when that takes place, that's the Spirit of God, and that's all there is to it. And the devil would like to make you think that's all there is to it. But I'd like to tell you there's a whole lot more to the Holy Ghost than just us speaking in tongues. That's just the trigger. That's just the initial imparting of the power of God. Come on, everybody shout power.
Power.
Acts 1:8, Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He didn't just say you'd receive an experience. He said, you'll receive power. Now, we want the experience. I want all the experience that we can get. I mean, I'd fall out on the floor, roll around a little bit, whatever it takes, you know, run around the building, pray in tongues, pray in the understanding. I love the experience. I mean, I'm addicted to the things of the kingdom of God and to the operations of the Holy Ghost. I love them. Sickness doesn't like me. Sickness get around me. I believe in Jesus' name, the sick will get well. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. How about you? Glory to God. Glory to God. I've laid hands on sick people in 31 countries, praying for them. Never one time picked up their sickness. People say, well, if you put your hand on people like that, you're going to get sick. It hadn't happened yet. I mean, I've only been doing it for 50 years. So I don't know. It might happen someday. I don't know, but I doubt that. No, I believe God. There are anointings. Healing is one of those anointings. The gifts of healing. Glory to God. Every person in here has some uniqueness in the Holy Ghost. God's put that in every single person, every believer. You've got some uniqueness. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a powerful thing. When God begins to give you a divine impartation of understanding and potentially an understanding of why God is doing something going forward. It's a powerful thing. Word of knowledge. Glory to God. Thank God you can have knowledge, but you can also, God can also give you an impartation of knowledge so you can understand, you can know something. You can understand the tangible, and then God can give you the understanding of the purpose. Because you can be sure that purpose is always in the mind of the Creator. It is for everything. Come on, shout hallelujah. The gift of discerning of spirits. Can I just say that in the discerning of spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits, that doesn't say the gift of discerning of demons. It could be demons. There could be spirits like that. But anybody that's just always discerning just evil stuff all the time, or is devil behind every tree, behind every rock, behind everything, whatever. No, when Lucifer fell, only a third of the angels fell with him. Hallelujah. Two-thirds of them didn't. Hallelujah. There's more that are for you than there are against you. And so it's necessary in the gift of discerning of spirits that you ask God to cause you to realize the presence of the Holy Spirit, ministering spirits, the angels of the Lord, ministering spirits of God, as well as understanding that there is a demonic realm also, and God will give you insight. Hallelujah. And He'll give you a knowing. He'll give you an understanding. Not everything that is going wrong is necessarily a demon manifesting. Some things are happening just because there's a curse in the earth still. It will be there forever until Jesus comes, the Bible says, and puts the last enemy underfoot, which is physical death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ask God to give you a discerning heart in the working the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's a powerful necessity, and you'll need it because you don't go to church. Well, you do. I think say you don't go to church 7 days a week, but you do. But because you don't go to church and you're not with Pastor Barry or Pastor Dottie 7 days a week, but the Holy Spirit is with you 7 days a week, 7 days and seven nights. Hallelujah. At all times, God will speak to you in dreams and visions. That's the working of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, Jesus said that you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I did a study some years ago, probably about 30 or 40 years ago. I did a study on different words for power in the Old and New Testament. Different words for that are extrapolated from that, especially in Hebrew and in Greek, that are extrapolated from the word power. And I found out that there are many words that come from that root. Words like might, strength, power, authority. There are numerous words that come. And you see them applied, and they're not necessarily the King James word P-O-W-E-R. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And so He didn't say that you shall receive the gift of tongues. We understand that impartation. I'm not minimizing that in any way whatsoever. You realize that. I'm just saying there's a whole lot more to the working of the Holy Ghost in your life and our lives than just that initial impartation. God wants you to be a nuclear power plant in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about just reproducing power all the time. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm sure you've experienced things like this. Hurricane Harvey came, and when it did, it came right straight through Galveston County, you know, some years ago now. The largest landmass of water that's ever been dumped. That water was everywhere. It came in there. It flooded Houston, Texas. It flooded Galveston. It was over into Beaumont. Got over into Lake Charles, Louisiana, and all up into East Texas. It was massive, the water. Just massive, the amount of water that came. And so where our church is, we're on a real high hill there. We're at 27 feet above sea level. That'll sink in a minute. So we're one of the highest places around down there because we're real close to the coast. And I think our sea level is at 27 feet. So you can get a heavy dew where we are and it'll flood sometimes. You know what I mean? And so when that thing came in, it started flooding all around. It was all around. And the church is right there. It sits on 10 acres. And the church does with the parking lots and stuff like that and the schools and gym. And so we were real concerned, obviously. And so we started praying. And it's the only hurricane I've ridden out, but I rode that one out there in our home where we live. Now, our home is up real high. It's up 33 feet above sea level. And so, sorry, I'm being a little facetious right here. I see these mountains and the Smoky Mountains and all that, and I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah, just to have one of those, Jesus. We could just have one. We could all get on down on the Gulf Coast there. That'd be awesome, you know. But anyway, we begin to pray, and believe me, the rains came down and the floods came up. Remember that old song? And they begin to come up, and they were flooding everywhere around us. It was just horrible what it did to people's homes and businesses and all that. And it starts coming up into the parking lot of the church. Imagine it coming, this water, you can't stop it. It's coming out of the bay, and it's coming, it's just coming. Houses are underwater. All kind of things are taking place. And it would come up to the doors of the church. I'm talking about their sidewalk around. It would come right up to that, just like to your glass door out there, and then all of a sudden it would stop and go back. And it did it about 8 or 10 times all through the night. And we would pray, we would bind that water, and here it was coming, and people around us would be flooded out. And he'd come right up to the door and he'd stop and go back. And not one of our buildings, on the church properties and all of that, not one of our buildings took any rising water. But all around us, it was a devastation. And it's not that God doesn't love us any more than anyone else. But listen, thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. You do your part. There's an anointing. You use that anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You use it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Back during COVID, I remember they were going to shut everything down there. So they were going to shut down all the churches in Texas. They said, we'll arrest you. And so we had one particular judge down there in the county, because I said, well, you know, I don't think we're going to close down. Why would we close down? Our ministry is healing. And why should we do that? Why didn't Walmart have to close down? We're first responders down there where we are. None of the first responder outfits had to close down. I said, why do we have to close down? And so that judge sent word to me. The mayor called me up, talked to the judge, and the judge sent word to me. If y'all open up like that, you're going to be arrested. We're shutting everybody down. I said, well, you just might as well get ready to arrest somebody, because that's going to happen. And so we started praying. There's a group of men and women in the church that are prayer warriors with me. And we begun to pray. And I had a thought. It just came to me. God can just drop an understanding to you. And I made one call to the Attorney General of Texas. And I just talked and said, this is not right. And he listened. They listened. His office did. He did. And so he goes in and talks to Governor Abbott. And that afternoon at 1 or 2 o'clock, he calls a special press conference out of the clear blue. Now, they didn't talk to me in advance when they did this. But he calls us a press conference and says, I'm the governor. I override all judges' decisions, churches or first responders, and will not have to shut down, try to use wisdom, do all of that, but churches can stay open. And that's why the state of Texas stayed open. Now, that's the Holy Ghost. That's another working of the power of the Holy Ghost. God will give you breakthrough in areas. He'll give you breakthrough in your family. When I was in the Air Force, I like to tell this story. I was in love with Cindy. That's my wife. And we weren't married at that particular time. And I'd spent a year in college. And after a year, well, I walked a baseball scholarship. I didn't like college. And so I went down in one day. Back in those days, you could go in one day and enlist. I went enlisted in one day in the United States Air Force. And so here I was in the Air Force. And I was in Biloxi, Mississippi. There's a lady here. There you are. There you are right there. Yes, sir. I'll see y'all now. And they know about Biloxi and Mississippi and all that area over there. And so I was there, and I was working in the JAG. That's what I was training for there as an assistant enlisted in the JAG. And so I got my permanent duty base orders for Spokane, Washington. And now, if you know where Spokane is, and you know where Houston, Texas is, basically, you know that's about as far west from Houston as you can get, you know, from the center of the nation. And especially that, I'm just like, oh, Lord, she gonna marry somebody else. I don't want to go that far. And I just didn't want to lose my girlfriend. So I called my father up. I said, I got orders to Spokane, Washington. I have to go. I've got about 3 weeks, and I'll go to permanent duty up there. So I called my father, and I said, Dad, I got orders for Spokane. And I think he was still a little bit jaded toward me because I didn't join the Marines if I was going to join, because he'd been a Marine. And I joined the Air Force. And he wasn't even sure that that was actually in the military. And so all the military people know what the jokes I'm talking about. So anyway, we prayed. To make a long story short, we prayed. I remember him saying to me, he said, Walter, are you living for God the way you should be? Like that? And, of course, I didn't have the right answer. I said, well, Dad, I'm trying. You know, kind of like that. And he said, well, listen, son, I'm going to pray for you, but I hear the Holy Ghost talking to me. And you need to make some decisions that you're going to live for God. You can live for God in the military. I said, all right, I'll do it. Pray. Because I knew if he'd pray, there was a possibility that something good could happen. And so he did. He said, let's pray. I was on a payphone. That's back when they had payphones, back in the early 70s. And so we began to pray on the phone. And after we finished praying, he ministered something to me. We finished praying. That was my father. A day or two later, I was in tech school still training. I go in there, and there's a note on my desk. It says, go to the third floor and see some tech sergeant up there in room so-and-so. And I had no idea what it was about. And I go up there, and they were interviewing people to go into the legal office and to cross-train. I was in avionic navigation and about to finish that, go into what's called SETS. Everybody knows what that is. Military guys do. Air Force guys do for sure. And so at the end of the day, I go up there, and they said, we're interviewing people. You tested real high on some, you know, for administrative type stuff or something like that. And when you came into the Air Force, and so we are always recruiting for these particular jobs, being a court reporter and some other things like that. And so I said, well, man, I'm sorry. I've already got orders for Spokane, Washington. And the guy looked at me. Sometimes you don't realize when God's, his power is working for you. And he said, oh, I can stop those orders with a call, just with one phone call. I said, sign me up. Where am I going to go? He said, well, it's kind of a critical field right now. He said, you can give us several choices of where you'd like to go. And I said, well, I want to go as close to East Texas as I can possibly go. And he said, well, there's a couple of bases around there. And he said, if you can't get that, there's one over in Alexandria, Louisiana, which is only 2 or 3 hours from where you're talking about. I said, I'd take that too. And within probably 72 hours, my orders had all been changed. And instead of going to Spokane, Washington, I wound up being able to drive home every weekend and see my girlfriend. And when I got out of the military, we got married. Somebody shout hallelujah. It was just a simple thing. I believe God moved the hand of the government. Now you say, no, you were just lucky. Well, you say what you want to say. But I'm going to tell you in Jesus' name. Nobody else in there got their orders changed like that. Absolutely, it was God intervening. God, He'll do things in business for you. He'll do things in your life. The power of the Holy Ghost will work in your life. And it taught me a huge lesson. We don't want to go into any business thing or anything that we do like that unless we've prayed and believed God and expect to see the hand of God working and moving in our life. Can I have a hallelujah? Acts 1:8 says you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So let me just give you a few of these words just for a moment. Glory to God. Y'all doing all right? Everybody wide awake? Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That power is manifested numerous different ways in the Scripture. Same Holy Ghost, different power. Different manifestations of power. I call it 12 anointings of the Holy Ghost. Jesus many times would reference that or symbolize it in the Scriptures. In John chapter 6, when He multiplied the bread and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, you remember the story? When He multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, there were 7 baskets left over. 12 baskets left over. Glory to God. Imagine that, 12 baskets. And He had fed thousands and thousands. I promise you that I believe I could make the case for it from the Scripture that there were 5,000 husbands there, the Bible says, but at least 30,000 people were there. If you read it in the Greek, it was the largest crowd up to that time that Jesus had even ministered to, a great multitude. The words right there in the Greek just literally mean they were, it was extensive, they were huge. And Jesus began to, he prayed, He blessed it. And then He began to break the bread and the fish. And the Bible says, listen, and it says, and He began to thank God. Now look, in the Greek, I don't want to bore you with Greek, but I promise you I can. It just literally said right there that He began to give thanks and He didn't stop. This is going to drop in someone's heart in just a minute right now. He began to give thanks. And as He began to give thanks to God and He didn't stop, the bread and the fish began to multiply. And so He just kept giving thanks. And as Jesus is giving thanks, the bread and the fish is multiplying. And as He's giving thanks, the bread and the fish is multiplying. And He didn't stop giving thanks until He stopped the bread and the fish from multiplying. If that'll drop in someone's heart, the power of the Holy Ghost will get in your praise, will get in your thanks, not just at church. It'll get in your praise, and it has an ability to multiply things in your life. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost to cause you to be extremely fruitful, even in a barren season. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will do that. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You shall receive power. One of the words for power right there, of course, is the word dunamis. Everyone, if you've been in church very long, you know about dunamis. That means the force, the ability, the dynamic power. They say we get the word dynamite from that. You'll receive power, dunamis, the ability for miracles, moral power to work miracles, divine ability, impartations of power. Jesus multiplied the 12 of the baskets of fish, and there were 12 baskets left over. I think every one of those baskets is symbolic of impartations of the anointing of God. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that there was a little lad, the Bible says? That word for lad right there is a word that means a young boy somewhere between 4 and 7, maybe as much as 8 years old. There was a little boy. And they looked through the crowd and they didn't have anything except that lad's little bit of food. He's the only one in the crowd, thousands of people, that didn't need anything. Everybody else was hungry. And Jesus used what that little lad had and just began to multiply it and multiply it. I'm not about to take an offering, but I'm telling you, sometimes what you do in the name of Jesus will wind up feeding a whole lot of other people. And now you got 30,000 evangelists who can now tell about the working of Jesus. And it all started with a little lad who didn't need anything. Now, you know they didn't hold that kid down and steal that food from him. So however they got the permission to get it, the Bible says, and Jesus took it. Jesus said, I'll take that. I can work with that. And he begins to thank God. And when he did, it just began to multiply. And the longer he would thank God, the longer it would multiply. If I don't say anything else tonight, you ought to get a hold of what I just said. The longer he thanked God, the more it began to multiply. The more he thanked God, the more it would multiply. The more I thank God for my son-in-laws that I believed God for one day. Glory to God. Here came my son-in-laws in the appointed season in the right time. The more Cindy and I for 10 years thanked God for grandchildren. We thanked God. Didn't see one of those little toddlers. Just thanked God. Thanked God. Thanked God. Call them prophets, singers, bankers, educators. I've called them everything in the world except an ugly name. Call it out. Glory to God. Get it under the blood. Next thing I know, here they come. And now the oldest one's 13 and the youngest one is 3. And they'll cry if they can't go to church. They love going to the house of God. We make it joyful. We make it fun for them, of course. But they're getting Jesus more and more. My little five-year-old the other day, one of my little five-year-old grandsons, he comes up to me. He says, they call me Baba. He said, Baba, I said, yeah, Luca, what's up, man? He said, I want to get water baptized. I said, you want to get water baptized? Why do you want to get water baptized? He said, I think Jesus wants me to. Look, I filled that tub up so quick, you can't believe how quick I filled that tub up. I wouldn't bruise his faith for anything. Glory to God. I got his other grandpa who goes to the church there too. I said, come here, help me baptize Luca. I said, I get him on one side and you get him on the other. This boy, good Lord, he's liable to walk on water when it's over with. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. There's power. There's power. It works in your family. Come on, shout hallelujah. Power. There's power. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, you'll receive power. Here's another word for power. Write it down if you want it. It's the word exousia. Everybody's heard exousia. And it's literally the word for authority. I've got about 10 more minutes. Listen to this. It's a word for authority. It's the power of God. Here's a definition. I made these definitions, and I feel like they flow with examples and with usages of the word in the Scripture when you study it and you dig it out and then compare it. Of course, I'm a Strong's and W. Vines guy and Bullinger. And so it literally means the power of God. Somebody get a hold of this. Because you get this with the Holy Ghost. The power of God to establish authority in the atmosphere. Exousia. You have that. Come on, look at somebody and say, I've got it. Come on, these teenagers, man, these worshipers, you got it, guys. Musicians, I can play every instrument up there. I love those keys up there where you're playing too, dude. And so it's extremely important. There's authority in that. There's anointings in there. There's anointings in those instruments. There's anointing in every one of them. Music is a carrying agent. When I was in business, we represented one real high temp sort of a lubricant that was a heavy moly base. It's called molybdenum, you know, a heavy moly base. And the company, and I don't know what it's called today. This was quite a few years ago before we sold our company. But it was called Dry Slide. And you can still see, I think it's still done. But anyway, in real high temp areas, they'd use this stuff. I just want y'all to hear this for a second. And so we had a demonstration we would do. So steel, like stainless steel or any kind of steel, bearings and things like that, all of that has pores just like your skin. Steel does, just microscopic most of the time. And it has pores. And so it's very necessary, of course, that you keep it lubricated, but you get it in a high heat area, and then it begins to break down and melt and warp and all of that. But this particular type of high-temp lubricant that we were using, that we would sell to the industries, paper mill, plywood, sawmill industry, that was predominantly what we did. You could just spray it on, or you could lubricate in a high heat area, and it had this component in it that would fill those little pores, microscopic pores, up. And when a little heat got on it, it just pulled them down into that and just plated over it. And so it was called Dry Slide, and it made it so it was friction free, and it was for high heat areas like that. They had another one. This, I know it's not spiritual, but you'll understand it in a minute, where you could spray it on something like that. And when the propellant would evaporate, it had carried that lubricant to that place, and it had coated it over real good. And the propellant was gone. The spray was gone. But it had deposited what it was supposed to there to protect it. Music is the exact same way. Music, it brings something into the soul. It brings something into the spirit, especially if it has words to it. And when it brings it in, when the music stops, it's deposited something inside. The other evaporates. It just evaporates. We started playing country western music. We had a band. Our band was called Born Again. And so we would travel around and we'd sing. There was a half a dozen of us in there, and you grow up in a Pentecostal church, and I promise you, you'll learn to play and sing early. And so we would do that. But we kind of got all up into ourselves, and we thought, you know, we sound pretty good. And we start doing country western music, and we start doing a little bit of other stuff. And the Holy Ghost said, I didn't anoint you for that. I didn't call you for that. I didn't call you for that. No, I called you for my kingdom and for my glory. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling what the Holy Ghost said. Because we were good enough. We weren't great, obviously. But we were good enough that people wanted to hear us play and sing. And then I realized that I was depositing things into people. And when the music was over with, what I'd talked about, you know, sleeping single in a double bed and all of that kind of foolishness. Dog died, lost a truck, girlfriend ran off. Papa top again. No, that's the devil. I said, that's the devil. That's not the kingdom of God. But that music brought those words and deposited them in people's life. And the music's over with, but the deposit was there. And so we adjusted ourselves, obviously, through a powerful prophetic word. We understood it, that those gifts and talents were actually for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. Look at two people and just say, I'm so glad he's preaching tonight. Come on, tell him that. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have authority. You have power. You have authority. I'm going to roll them out real quick. My time's up. Another word for authority and power that's used, a Hebrew word, is the word yakal. Y-A-K-O-W-L. Yakal. And it's the power for unreasonable harvest in previously dead fields. You'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes. You can have a harvest in an area of life. It's amazing how you can have a harvest in an area of life that it looks like it's just barren and done away with. Barren and done away with. I was driving down the freeway at I-45, Interstate 45 South, there in Galveston County, in Harris County there, comes through Houston all the way right to the Gulf of Mexico on Galveston Island. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me one day, like I'm talking to you right now, just said it in me like this. Now, this happened about a little over 15 years ago, this particular time. The Holy Ghost said to me, go buy that piece of land. And it was one of those pieces of land that there's never been anything on that piece of land. I'm telling you, just armadillos and spotted owl probably and some kind of snail darter. Just there. Terrible. Every time it's called Clear Creek. When Clear Creek rises up, it floods it immediately. Just floods it. And there were 66 acres right off the freeway there. Nothing on them because you couldn't build on it. It was too low. It was below sea level. Below sea level. And the Holy Ghost told me, go buy that piece of property. And I went and I turned around and I drove back and I looked at that and I went, God, is that you? Are you talking to me like that? Because, you know, that's a big stretch for me looking at that. And I found out who owned it, but I heard it was the Holy Ghost. I could tell it was the Spirit of God. And so I found out who had bought it. Some guy had bought it and was using it basically to him in a bank. He was using it to loan money against, and he'd use it, that money, to like a draw against some other property that he was building, a developer. And so I got him finally to meet me. He was on the other side of Houston. He drove over. We got on the property. Said, I'd like to buy that property. And he said, oh, preacher, you don't want this piece of property. You can't do anything with it. I said, I know, but I think I'd like to buy it. How much would you sell it for? And he never would tell me a price. And so finally, he said, I just don't understand why you want to buy it. Why would you want to buy this piece of property? And I said to him, well, I feel like God told me I was supposed to buy that. Well, look, you be careful that you don't cast your pearl before swine. And I said that to him. And when I did, I could just see his eyes kind of just a little bit, you know, like, really? God told you that? To buy this piece right here? He said, well, then, yeah, I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you for $1 million. I said, oh, no, man, you know it's not worth $1 million. Let's have it appraised, and I'll pay you 10% more than the appraisal. And you get the appraiser. Let's have it appraised. It ain't going to be close to $1 million, of course. And he said, well, it wouldn't make me any difference what it is. You said God told you to buy it, so I'll take $1 million. Yeah, that happened. So, you know, I couldn't get him off of it. So you know what I did? I bought it for $1 million. I had people quit my church when I did that. They thought I'd lost my mind. I wanted to quit and go with them. I thought I'd lost my mind too. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. What am I going to do with that? And I had several people come to me and say, Pastor, you still have that piece of property? I said, yeah. What are you going to do with it? Don't have any idea. Not sure. I heard you paid $1 million for that. Yeah, sure did. I got some property I'll sell you, you know. I said, no, I'm not buying any other property. So our high school seniors graduated. We're graduating, so we had a graduation day. Can we talk? And so I went up to New York. We carried them on a field trip. We've gone for a few days and took them up to New York City. I wouldn't do that today, but we did. You know, then. So we're in New York. I'm walking down Fifth Avenue I'm just looking around, and the Holy Ghost said to me, like I'm talking to you right now, now sell that piece of property. I called a particular fella, and I said, I'm going to sell that piece of property. I want you to go put a big sign on that that says for sale. I even, Pastor, I had men in our church go get together and put together a little business thing to buy that land from me to try to help me recover some of my loss. They did it behind my back. Then they came to me and they said, we'll do that, Pastor. We'll buy that property and we'll try to figure out something to do. Some good men. I mean, it was like bringing water from the well of, you know, to David and stuff. It was just very, very emotional to me that somebody would even do something like that, be willing to do something like that. I said, man, it's not thank you, but no. I feel like I bought that because God told me to buy it. And they said, all right, you know, but oh, hallelujah. I said, okay. I put a sign up. Within a couple of weeks, we got a phone call from a guy who was from Denver, Colorado. And he said, I specialize in reclamation of old property and being able to go through this big, expensive process to bring that up. And he said, I'd like to buy that. I think I'd like to buy that property. I'm very interested in it. How much would you take for it? Well, I almost put my foot in my mouth and I didn't run him off. I was going to tell him, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars. But I didn't. I said to him, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, you know, I'll tell you in 3 days. I'm not sure exactly how much I want for that. I just have a big for sale sign on it. But I'll tell you in 3 days. And so 3 days later, we met at a place called Kelly's Restaurant. And so he said, well, how much do you decide you want to sell it for? I said, I'll take $4 million. He never even negotiated. He just said, I'll take it. And bought that from us for $4 million. Can I tell you, now listen. Can I tell you that the Holy Ghost is the original real estate agent? He knows how to make a good deal. I mean, he's the one that knows. You'll receive power. You receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power will sometimes cause previously dead fields, dead areas in your life to suddenly be, and it doesn't have to be a piece of ground, but God knows how to resurrect that up. Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, let this anointing, let it fall in this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that anointing in this house. Thank you, Father, for that anointing for inventions, for ideas. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father.